Dengar hujah kepada huraian kepada petikan yang kita sudah baca tadi. Now, kami bermula dengan mengucapkan selamat datang kepada semua rakan-rakan kami, tak kira jauh atau dekat, terutama sekali mereka yang datang dari jauh. Ada di antara kita di sini yang datang jauh-jauh. Some of us come very far, some from near. And we especially welcome those who have come from far. Of course, those near are welcome as well. But we are more like hosts, and we welcome those who come as far as from Pakistan, and we from England, and we come those who come from Indonesia. So we mustn't forget people who come from far. They are far, but we want them to see that this place is a place where it is like home to them. And today we come to remember especially the most important event in the history of the world. It is not recognized as such, but I would like to show to you that it is, and like to remind you that this event must be remembered by us all. Kita seharusnya ingat bahawa hari ini kita meraikan peristiwa yang paling penting dalam dunia untuk kesemua orang. Tetapi bukan semua orang yang mengakunya, bukan semua orang yang bersetujui bahawa ini perkara penting. Jadi kita mau menunjukkan sedemikian pada hari ini. Now we want to take note that there was once when everything came to a point where this event occurred, when the Son of God came to this earth. Now, you know what it is to have a conjunction of events taking place. And when something big happens, then we cannot make sense out of it. And then later on, we come and make an analysis. Why did that thing happen? And often we examine in details and dissect such a situation with bad events. When something bad happens, we want to analyze it, and then we want to find out the causes. And in that way, we try to prevent that in the future. Now, it can happen with good events as well. And why don't we also try to do the same for a good event? You must understand that a conjunction of events happened. Long ago, there was an event known as the fall, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit. And Adam was appointed by God as the representative of the human race. His fall, therefore, affected all the descendants of Adam and Eve. Ada satu peristiwa yang pertama yang berlaku, yaitu Adam dan Hawa. Mereka melanggar hukum Tuhan dan memakan buah yang tak diizinkan oleh Tuhan. Dan itu disebut kejatuhan. Dan oleh kerana itu Adam itu ialah wakil kepada semua manusia, maka kesalahannya terhadap Tuhan itu menyebabkan semua keturunannya sudah bersalah. And not only are we guilty in the sin of Adam because he was our representative head, but the sinful nature of Adam and Eve have been passed down to his descendants, so that we all are affected by our sinful nature. So that is the situation we are faced with. Dan kita semua sudah pun ada sifat yang berdosa kerana kita semua ini keturunan Adam dan Hawa. Ini menyebabkan masalah kepada kita. Many people object to the idea, why should Adam's sin affect all the human race? Now, in certain things in life, we do not have any choice. For example, which country were you born in and to which family? Did you have a choice in these matters? We don't have a choice in these matters. We learn to accept it. And why rebel against these facts which we cannot change? Instead, why can't we be happy with the fact that we were born in such a country and we were born into such a family? Why do we want to quibble and fight over this matter? I wish I was born in another country. I wish I was born in another time in another family. You will be unhappy forever. And so also in certain matters with regard to who should be our representative head. If God has made Adam our representative head, why want to fight against this? Why can't somebody else be my representative head? And similarly in a country, If you live in America, why should Obama be my president? So why quibble over the matter? And then we know that this representative principle operates all down the line. Suppose, if America were to declare war against, let us say, China. We hope it never happens, these two big giants. But if America were to declare war on China, no American citizen can say, I'm not involved. You like it or not, you are involved. Because the president of America represents you. The moment you step foot in China and say, oh, I'm your friend. Yeah, I may be American, but I'm not at war with you. You will straight away be arrested and put in jail as a prisoner of war, like it or not. So there are certain things that is no good fighting over. We just learn to accept and be happy with. And the more you fight, the more unhappy your life will be. But what we want to learn is what was the result of Adam's fall. Jadi ada setengah perkara di mana kita tidak ada pilihan. Contohnya kalau kita dilahirkan di sebuah negara atau di dalam sebuah keluarga, kita jangan melawannya. Begitu juga Adam dijadikan wakil kepada umat manusia. Dan apabila Adam itu memberontak dan tidak mematuhi kehendak Tuhan, keruntuhan itu menjadi kesalahan kepada semua manusia yang menjadi keturunan Adam dan Hawa itu. Kita tidak ada pilihan dalam hal ini. Jangan kita melawannya. Itu sudah sesuatu yang nyata. Tidak boleh kita mengubahkan perkara itu. Okay? So now, what happened is that with time, God desires to do good to the human race. But he knows that not all in the descendants of Adam will come to submit to him, to accept him as God, the creator. But God continues to want to do good. If not to all, then at least some will be done good to. And he promised the coming of a savior. Prophets were sent to the chosen nation of Israel at that time. Now again, we don't want to quibble. Why Israel? Why not the Chinese? Why not the Africans? Again, you see, God has the right to choose. We don't want to be unhappy in our life and fight things that affect. And God has to choose a certain nation to fulfill his purpose, to reveal his truth. And he has chosen the nation of Israel. He could have chosen the Chinese. Of course he could have. But he has chosen the nation of Israel. Why do we want to fight this fact? If he has chosen the Chinese, then the other people will say, why the Chinese? You see, so there will be no end to our fighting. Let us accept certain facts as facts. It's no good fighting over it. See? And similarly, the fact that we have a limited life. Do you want to fight over the fact? Why can't we live to 200 years old? Why? You see? The more you fight, the more unhappy you are. See? Why can't you accept the fact that our years are between 70 and 80? And if by reason of God's mercy you are given an extra 10 years, be thankful for it. But if it is less, then you discover it is God's right to take your life away earlier. So we have no choice in this matter. It is better to face facts and then adjust ourselves to this situation. But much as we say all this and try to make sense to people, many still do not want to accept it. In their hearts, they are still unhappy. They are still resentful. And such people, you can't help them. God really have to have mercy on them. You will go down to your grave one day. A crabby old man or a crabby young boy. You will always be screaming unfairness, injustice, and you want your way, you're unhappy. But let today be the day when your heart is calm. Today is the day of peace. Today, in this message, we want you to understand that there are certain facts in life you have to accept, and you learn to adjust and understand and adjust. That way you will make more sense out of life, then you will be happier. Jadi ada setengah perkara seperti hayat kita, berapa lama kita hidup, itu bukan dalam tangan kita, itu dalam tangan Tuhan. Sudah ditetapkan untuk kita. Setiap orang biasanya tidak hidup melebihi 80 tahun umur kita, di antara 70 dan 80. Yang ada orang diberikan nyawa yang lebih panjang, kita bersyukur kepada Tuhan. Tetapi yang ada orang akan mati lebih awal dari itu. Jadi ada sesetengah perkara, kita jangan cuba melawannya. Semakin kita melawannya, semakin kurang senang hati kita. Dan kita akan mati sebagai orang yang tidak gembira langsung. Buat apa? Buat apa mau melawan hakikat semacam itu? Kalau ini sudah nyata, biar kita terimanya, cuba memahaminya dan kita aturkan kehidupan kita untuk menyesuaikan diri kepada hakikat semacam ini. So we must learn to understand and adjust our life to the situation. Back to the good news. God, from long ago, sent prophets to the nation of Israel and prophesied the coming of a Savior. Tuhan dari awal-awal lagi sudah pun mengutuskan nabi-nabi ke umat Israel yang dipilihnya supaya meramalkan kedatangan, bernubuat mengenai kedatangan seorang juru selamat, seorang penyelamat untuk orang-orang berdosa. And the time came when everything was just right and the Savior was announced. And the Savior was announced to a group of shepherds. And of course this shepherd with the appearance of the angel was very frightened. And the angel assured them and then gave them the understanding who this person was that was being born, that has been born. So pada suatu ketika, kesemua keadaan dunia adalah sudah tepat waktunya dan nubuat Tuhan mengenai kedatangan seorang penyelamat sudah pun mau digenapi, sudah pun mau dipenuhi pada waktu itu. Dan ada sekumpulan gembala, orang yang menjaga kambing dan atau domba itu. Malaikat itu datang menemukan mereka. Dan dengan ketakutan mereka ditemui oleh malaikat itu. Malaikat itu menenangkan hati mereka, janganlah takut. Dan dia pun menerangkan siapakah yang sudah dilahirkan pada hari atau malam itu. Okay? Now we continue now to what the passage says. The angel declares, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So from this passage we learn three things. We can divide it into these three things. For there is born to you this day in the city of David. That is one part. Then a Savior, that is the second part. Who is Christ the Lord, that is the third part. We want to examine the last part, then the first part, before we consider the middle part. So 1, 2, 3. We consider 3, 1, 2. Because 3 then leads to 1, then the center part, 2. So we want to first look at the last part. Is Christ the Lord. What that means. Jadi malaikat itu sudah pun memberitahu kepada orang pada waktu itu bahwa yang dilahirkan itu seorang yang dilahirkan di kota Daud. Dan dia itu ialah penyelamat, dia juru selamat kita. Dan dia itu ialah Kristus, iaitu Tuhan kita. Kita mau pelajari dari bahagian akhir ini, kemudian belajar dari bahagian pertama sebelum belajar dari bahagian kedua itu. Now when we look at the last part, we discover that it's clearly stated this is Christ, the Lord. Now what is Christ to those who were listening at that time? You must understand the Hebrews, the Jews use the Hebrew language. And the word for the coming one is Messiah. Messiah or the one who is anointed. And translated into Greek, it is Christos or Christ. And that means the anointed one. The person who is anointed is the person who is appointed and no one else can take his place. So God has appointed this person to be the one to be who is going to be Savior. It is just like the king. Before he dies, he appointed someone and the person is an anointed one. So no others should occupy the throne. So with the Lord Jesus Christ, we know he is the one prophesied. And we are told he is the Lord. And the Lord, you must understand, carries the idea of the highest master. He carries the idea that we are all submitted to him. When used with regard to Jesus Christ, it always carries the idea of deity. You couldn't find a more suitable word to represent this idea, this concept. Because we are all supposed to submit ourselves to God. He is our creator. Just like we have to acknowledge our Father, and especially in our growing years, we are under His authority. And anywhere in the world, in whatever culture, even in the most liberal and decadent culture, you discover that everyone will say that you are biadab, you are kurang ajar, you are bad-mannered if you deny your Father. You have to acknowledge that He is your Father. See? And yet, with God, we don't see that. And that is bad. We have to come to realize that we are supposed to submit ourselves to God, to acknowledge that we come from Him, that all the good we enjoy in this world is actually from Him. Otherwise, you are regarded as doing wrong altogether. Just like in your family, you do refuse to acknowledge that you have a Father. You refuse to say that He is your Father when you see Him. That is not right. But the Lord Jesus Christ is declared as the one, His Lord. We are supposed to be under Him. Now this shows to us the deity of Jesus Christ. God created the universe, and He has revealed Himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Son is regarded as the Word of God, by which He revealed Himself to this world. And He has come to earth. He is actually God. He is deity. And this is what we must understand, that the expression. So, dari bahagian terakhir itu, Kristus itu ialah Tuhan. Ini menunjuk kepada kita, Dia bukan orang biasa. Dia diutus ke dunia ini untuk kita sebagai penyelamat. Dia ialah juru selamat kita. Dan Dia dinyatakan kepada kita sebagai Tuhan. Dengan lain kata, kita janganlah fikir Dia sebarangan orang, tetapi Dia itu ialah Tuhan kepada kita. Okay? Jadi kita harus terima ini. Seperti juga di rumah kita. Dari kecil sampai besar, kita tahu kita ada bapa. Takkanlah kita tak mengenal bapa kita, dan kita tak menerima Dia sebagai bapa kita, dan kita tidak menunduk kepadanya sebagai bapa kita. Kalau kita membuat sedemikian, bukankah kita dianggap biadab? Kita dianggap kurang ajar? Kita dianggap orang yang sudah keterlaluan? Di mana-mana budaya pun, kita dianggap sudah bersalah kalau kita menolak bapa kita sebegitu. Begitu juga kalau kita tak tunduk kepada Tuhan kita, dan kita tak menerima kita sebagai pencipta kita, kita ini sudah bersalah. Dan Yesus Kristus dinyatakan kepada kita, Dia dinyatakan sebagai Tuhan. Dengan lain kata, kita seharusnya tunduk kepadanya. Kita seharusnya menerimanya sebagai Tuhan kepada kita. Okay, so we have covered the first part. Now we shift to the third part. Now we come to the first part. It says that there is born this day to you in the city of David. We are told that there is born to you this day in the city of David. The city of David is a reference to the town where David was born, which was Bethlehem. This is not a reference. This is not a reference. Just bring him out to the next room. Pergi ke sebelah sajalah. So, now, when the city of David is a reference to where David was born, not to Jerusalem, which was later declared as the city of David. So here the context shows to us that it was the place where David was born. This shows to us that God has become man, perfect man, without any sin. You say, can it be possible for man, real man, to be without sin? Yes, of course. Remember, when Adam was created, he was created without sin. He was truly man, but without sin. It was until the fall that sin entered the human race. Otherwise, there was no sin in Adam. So, it is declared to us that Jesus Christ is God and man. He has to be man for a certain reason we will discover soon. Jadi, kita diberitahu bahwa Yesus itu dilahirkan di kota Daud. Daud itu menjadi raja. Kemudian Yerusalem dipanggil juga kota Daud. Tetapi itu bukan dimasukkan di sini. Yang dimasukkan ialah kota atau kampung di mana Daud dilahirkan, yaitu Bethlehem. Dan oleh kerana Kristus, yaitu Tuhan kita, sudah dilahirkan, ini menunjukkan bahwa Tuhan sudah menjadi manusia. Tetapi dia tidak berhenti menjadi Tuhan. Dia mengambil untuk diri sendiri sifat manusia. Sifat manusia yang sempurna, yang tidak berdosa. Mungkinkah seseorang itu manusia yang benar tetapi tak berdosa? Ya, sudah tentu mungkin. Ingat ketidak kita bahawa Adam sewaktu dia diciptakan tanpa dosa. Dan dia benar-benar manusia. Sehinggalah waktu dia merontak dan tidak mematuhi perintah Tuhan. Waktu itulah dosa memasuki sifat manusia. Sebelum itu, Adam itu sempurna, tidak berdosa. Begitu juga, Yesus sudah datang ke dunia ini. The Son of God has come to take upon himself perfect human nature. So he is God and man in one person. Now why has he to be God and man? We come to the middle section. He's the Savior. Now God desires to save us. Save us not from political oppression. Save us not from economic deprivation. He did not save us from all these worldly matters. These worldly matters soon will be gone. He comes to save us from a worse problem, and that is the problem of sin. Remember, we were descended from Adam, and the sinful nature is in us. And if the nature is sinful, what can you do about it? You can't pluck the nature out of you, because it's part of you. Try tearing out your flesh. It's part of you. You say, I don't like this forearm. You know, and rip it away. You discover you are only harming yourself, and you can't change yourself. You see? It is part of you. So the sinful nature is part of you. You try and tear out the sinful nature, you cannot, because the nature is really part of you. It's like a tiger, you want to shave off the all the stripes. When the hair grows again, the tiger is still a tiger, it has stripes. It's part of us already. It shows that we cannot save ourselves. Kita ini sudah bersifat berdosa. Sejak Adam memberontak dan tidak mematuhi perintah Tuhan. Dan Yesus sekarang ini ialah Tuhan dan manusia dalam satu peribadi. Dia datang untuk menyelamatkan kita. Bukan menyelamatkan kita dari kemiskinan atau dari penganiayaan. Tetapi dia menyelamatkan kita dari dosa. Itu lebih penting dari semua perkara. So why is it that saving us from sin is such a crucial matter? The reason is because we all have wronged God. We have done wrong. Our thoughts have been filthy. Our words have not been truthful. Our actions have not been right. So you see here now that we deserve damnation from God. Because if God really is God, he has to be a just God who must punish sin. There is such a thing as righteousness. There is such a thing as morality. Otherwise, why live on? Why have basic values such as telling the truth? Why? If everyone were to all the time tell lie to one another, you see what the world will be like? No, the next words that you say to me, I don't know whether to trust you or not. You see? Now really, it will be a living hell on earth. You see? So we know that there has to be some law and justice and order. And it is because God is what he is. And because he is what he is, any wrong against him must be punished. It has to be. See? Dan Tuhan itu adil. Kalau tidak ada keadilan, kehidupan dalam dunia ini sudah tak jadi. Setiap orang semua membuat menurut sesuka hati mereka. Kehidupan dalam dunia ini tidak akanlah menyenangkan kita semua. Okay? So it has to be like that. So in Malaysia, you know, if you do wrong, you break the law of the country, the police catches you. Where do you go? Go to jail. You see? You have to be punished. You are taken to jail. But we have done wrong to God. See? When God punishes us, we have to die and go to hell. See? It has to be like that. It makes sense. Otherwise, what sense can we make of the world and of life? See? Now, when you go to jail, can you come out? You say, yes. When the punishment is meted out, when you have been in jail for that fixed length of time as determined by the judge, you say, oh, or by paying a certain fine, when that sum of money is paid, you can come out. But can you pay your way to buy freedom from God whom you have offended? See, when you owe people money, you can pay with money. When you owe God sin, you cannot pay with money. You pay with your life. And when you die, you go straight to hell. But who wants to go to hell? Think of prison. Do you like to go to prison? You don't have to go to prison to know that it is unpleasant. And certainly we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. But how can we be accepted into heaven? When God is there, God is pure and we are so impure. That is our big problem, which we cannot solve. See, our happiness on earth and the sense for the purpose for which we live all hinges on our acceptance of the fact that God is the measure of all truth. See, and we must be right with Him. Otherwise, life makes no sense and there will be no good purpose in your life. That is why those who think deeply, they become very depressed. Many really become so depressed that they do not want to live on. But when they come to accept the fact that there is the Creator with whom we must be put right, then they begin to make sense of life. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Jadi mengapakah Yesus Kristus datang ke dunia ini? Untuk menyelamatkan kita dari dosa. Kehidupan kita tak bermakna sekiranya kita tidak berdamai dengan Tuhan kita. Kalau kita buat salah di Malaysia, kita ditangkap polisi, kita masuk ke penjara. Maukah ke penjara? Kita tidak mau. Penjara bukan suatu tempat yang menyenangkan. Begitu juga kalau kita buat salah terhadap Tuhan, terkena kita dihukumnya, kita terkena masuk ke neraka. Tetapi siapa mau masuk ke neraka? Kita mau pergi ke syurga. Tapi kalau mau pergi ke syurga, Tuhan itu suci, dia kudus. Kita ini bersalah dan kita berdosa. Macam mana dapat diterima ke sana? Itulah sebabnya Yesus Kristus datang ke dunia ini. Jesus Christ was sent to this world by God the Father to be what is called a propitiation for our sins. He came to redeem us from our sins. He died in the place of His people. He died to pay for the sins of His people. And when His people repent and trust in Him, He who is risen from the dead is counted as His Savior because His righteousness is regarded as ours. Those who are united to Christ, their sins are regarded as taken away by Christ. Christ's righteousness is regarded as theirs. In that way, they are forgiven by God. In that way, they are accepted by God. That is how we are saved. Jadi untuk orang yang berdosa, tidak ada jalan yang lain di mana kita dapat diperdamaikan dengan Tuhan. Dengan satu jalan yang disediakan oleh Tuhan saja. Yaitu anaknya dihantar ke dunia ini. Dia diutus ke dunia ini dan dia mati atas salib sebagai korban yang sempurna. Untuk menebuskan dosa umatnya. Sesiapa yang bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus, dosa mereka dianggap sudah diambil Yesus waktu dia mati di atas salib. Dan kebenaran Yesus pula dianggap kepunyaan mereka. Dan dengan cara ini saja, mereka dapat diampunkan Tuhan dan diterima oleh Tuhan. Tidak ada cara yang lain. See? So, you see now, life goes on. And in everyday life, we're so busy doing this and doing that. And all our pursuits are with short-term aims. We don't think so far to eternity. Wow, you are thinking, next, what is the next stage of your life? Perhaps marriage. So in your study years, you are working, earning a living, and then the next target is your marriage. Or after your marriage, you to be children coming. Perhaps you prepare for a retirement, you see. And that is the target that we set. Then everything we do roughly conforms to our view of life, that it will have to arrive at that point, you see. And that is all. We seldom ever think far enough to eternity. And that is why Christmas causes us to stop and think. You see, you make plans for the future, but have you planned far enough? You know that your life is limited. Very soon it will be over. Is life just like that? You live, you eat, sleep every day, and then you grow old, and then you achieve whatever little ambitions you have, and then it's over. The Bible tells us no. There is still eternity to look forward to. And the way we prepare for eternity is to be made right with our Creator. And the only way by which we are made right with our Creator is through our Savior, Jesus Christ. He truly is our Savior. Jadi kita mau pikir lebih jauh dan jangan pikir hanya di dunia ini saja. Kita tahu kehidupan kita bukan di dunia ini sahaja. Selepas kita mati, kita masih ada harapan lagi. Dan cara untuk kita diperdamaikan dengan Tuhan ialah melalui Yesus Kristus, Juru Selamat kita. Tidak ada Juru Selamat yang lain, tidak ada cara yang lain melainkan Yesus Kristus yang mati atas salib sebagai korban sempurna untuk mereka yang berdosa. Jadi, waktu Christmas ialah waktu kita dapat diingatkan semula. Kehidupan kita bukan sekadar di dunia ini saja. Our life is not just for this earth. We prepare for eternity as well. Okay? So let this Christmas be the time when you are made to realize afresh that life is not just on this earth. We have to prepare for eternity. And let us, as we prepare for the next stage of our life, let us not forget to prepare for eternity. Let us be right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, who is the Savior of the world. Biarlah kita pada waktu Christmas ini, pada waktu Natal ini kita diingatkan semula. Kehidupan kita bukan sekadar di dunia ini saja. Kita masih ada masa harapan untuk kekekalan. Marilah kita kenali pencipta kita melalui juru selamat kita, yaitu Yesus Kristus. So may God do us good during this Christmas season. Jadi marilah kita teruskan acara kita. Kita menyanyikan lagu ke-6. Let us sing hymn number 6 on this hymn sheet. Let us stand to sing O Holy Night. Okay, there's no music accompaniment. Oh, 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 holy night. 1, 2. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and darkness pining, till He appeared, gift of infinite worth. Behold the babe in yonder manger lowly, 'tis God's own Son, come down in human form. Fall on your knees before the Lord most holy. Was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. With humble hearts, we bow in adoration before this child, gift of God's matchless love. Sent from on high to purchase our salvation, that we might dwell with Him ever above. What grace untold to live the bliss of glory and die for sinners, guilty and forlorn. On your knees, repeat the wondrous story. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. Oh, day of joy, when in eternal splendor
He shall return in his glory to reign. When every tongue due praise to him shall render, his power and might to all nations proclaim. A thrill of hope, a longing heart's rejoices, for soon shall dawn that glad eternal morn. Fall on your knees, with joy lift up your voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night divine.
Let's pray. Terima kasih Tuhan kami kerana sudah pun mengingatkan kami mengapa Yesus Kristus datang ke dunia ini. Biarlah hati kami tunduk kepadanya dan mengaku dia sebagai Tuhan kami, penyelamat kami. Biarlah kami semua menerima berkat kehidupan kekal kerana sudah bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder that of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came. And we pray, God, that you may give us a heart of submission to him. Help us that we will all repent of our sins and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. For we know there is no other Savior apart from the one prepared for us by God. And it is by his death on the cross that our sins are made up for, that we are reconciled unto our Creator. We pray, God, that this day may be the day when we rethink our life, when we take hold of our life and come to you and plead for mercy, that you will make us your children. We pray, God, that you may help us to have thankful hearts during this Christmas season. Bless us all in this new year. We pray all this. Kami berdoa ke semua ini dalam nama Tuhan Yesus Kristus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.